video about Carrie Mullis on BitChute. So, yeah, how the hell did he load that up there?
I have no idea. I'm only assuming that because I did the after our one, I did another one on Monday night with Tracy Northern on the virus stuff, and she used the we and I just put the apps about 45 minutes or so, definitely a little bit under the hour, and that goes straight up. But any sort of podcasts that are bigger, it won't load. And I know it's not going to load because I can tell straight away because I do it. And then when you go into the settings there, there's no image. It's just nothing happening. And I left it all day. That doesn't work. So I have to delete it. Maybe it's it. Maybe those people have a more of a premium account. That's what I'm thinking. You know, like their members. On BitChute, you can get different types of memberships. I was just wanted to get the $5 a month one. I'm waiting for them to fix their payment system, but I think that might help. If you've got a, I think maybe more of a premium membership, you can upload bigger files. And I'm sh I'm not I'm you know, YouTube is unlimited, and I think BitChute you might have a certain amount, same as Brighton, but I'll check into it. Frustrating sometimes, but we just continue to get out. As I say, it's so funny on Fiendbook, Zuckerbook,
Oh.
Facebook. Funny, you know, they really destroyed my Krasfiles channel there, which I'm kind of pissed off about because I built that up over the years. And there's a few thousand people following there, and I can get good reach on Facebook anyway. And so I really got to the stage over the last couple of years where I'm just posting stuff from the website. And I keep it at that. Don't make much comments or anything, because that's what where they get you. But it's just not it's not working at all. It's really terrible. See, some people can't share anything from there. It's totally shadow banned. And then
Oh,
the other
yeah.
day, on because I've been using my personal page, there they blocked me twice. Isn't it weird? Like Facebook, a couple of weeks ago, they blocked me for. How many days? Maybe. How many days do you usually get? It was like a few days.
Seven.
No, this
Oh,
was shorter.
you can get three.
Yeah, it
Well,
was
you can
three.
get all sorts.
It
Yeah,
was
24
they
hours.
blocked me for 3 days, and they said it was because of an image I put up, like a meme or an image, and I checked the image out, and I've never seen that before in my life. I've never seen that. I never posted that, ever. And so now the just recently they got me for 2 or 3 days again, and now just today they got me again when I tried to like your images that I saved anyway. You put up a great image of a businessman
Oh, a mouse wheel,
yeah,
yeah.
like a or you know like what were they called? The guinea pig wheel type thing, you know, and it's round and round with a COVID con, and they put up a couple of those that I saved, and I was commenting on that, and it said you are blocked, and I'm like, what did I do now? And then they had this whole
No.
list of memes I put up, and I'm like, okay, so they've blocked me twice, for a
Yeah,
3 day
they're targeting
period
you.
over a week, yeah, so which equals just on a whole week. So I can't breathe on there now. They're blocking me for everything, and I noticed the show last night. Just talking about the protest with Michael Sims. He shared it on his page, but it looks very weird. And then I tried to click on it, and it didn't go anywhere. The podcast that goes back
Oh.
to the website. So anything from the website, the Krasfiles website. Yeah, they're shadow banning on Facebook now. As well, which is fine. So that's okay. Messenger works. We do a lot of work in Messenger anyway. That's working okay. And but funny days, funny days. It's just what do you do but shake your head? And so yeah, Facebook are into the up to their eyeballs with censorship at the moment. And there's so much. There's so many people, you know, putting up information so fast about the COVID technology, the jabs, and they don't like it. They don't like it one bit. So they, you know, they're censoring all over. But we always say that, and it's like trying to you got a big bucket or a big bucket filled with water, and there's all holes in the bucket, and you're trying to stop the water coming out. It's just they either get rid of us all, everybody, or they just stop this nonsense and let people post what they want and have freedom of speech. You know, it's absolutely insane. No one's threatening anybody. People are just posting things and memes and talking. You know, and they don't like it one bit. It's just crazy. How they can even survive and have a platform. But that's the way that it is now. It's really crazy. So it's getting so schizo that they're blocking us for nothing.
Yep.
And then making up memes. It's going to get worse. Yeah, it will. So no one gets information. It's critical times, isn't it?
But a lot of people are going to the other alternative platforms now. So they're just so sick and tired of it all. I noticed I was going through my friends list, and there's a hell of a lot of people that have either deactivated their accounts or they've actually deactivated them for them, you know. So people are just getting jacked off, and they're going elsewhere, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, so there's always a way.
If what we were saying was wrong or whatever, you know, they would just let us go. They wouldn't worry about it, you know. It's
Well, I mean, that little tiny video that I shared about the FDA saying that they're never going to approve these vaccines for COVID, and fact checkers came on and said it was false information. It's just a guy sitting in front of Congress, I would imagine, talking to them about how they're not going to approve any of them because they don't tick the criteria. And, you know, and I've got this screen thing saying something or other. I have to have a look, but you know, you got to see why they've got this screen over the actual video itself, and then you can actually click on the video. But I don't know what they think they're achieving by doing that. It's just going to make people more curious. It's just shooting themselves in the kneecap all the time.
They're desperate, idiots. Aren't they?
Fucking idiots. Honestly.
So desperate.
Mm-hmm. I posted that meme or that quote from Greg Hunt talking about that this is the biggest trial
in
history. I shared that in quite a few groups because I hadn't shared it in a lot of groups for ages. And anyway, they had this dude from Mullumbytes, it's called. It's a Mullumbimby group. And this guy wants to know when and where did he say this. So I had to dig it up. I found it on ABC. It was. So it wasn't the mainstream, you know, like ABC. There's a selected audience, I suppose, that watched that particular one. Anyway, so I had to go through like, what was it, 17 minutes of him waffling on about how safe and effective it was. Safe and effective. I mean, he must have said that 50,000 times in that whole 17 minutes. And he was over-talking the interviewer and, doing my head in. So finally I found it and I said, here you go. I said, it's 12 minutes in and you got to listen to all this waffle beforehand. But did I get a thank you? No, I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, he's just one of those people that want evidence.
Yeah.
Gotta have evidence.
Yeah, then you give it to them and they ignore you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I went through that for ages, you know. Just idiots. Absolute idiots, you know. You can give them, you can give them a PDF, massive PDF on this kind of stuff, and they'll just go through and look for a spelling mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's a spelling mistake here, you know. Oh, we're supposed to take this serious, you know. And you put stuff up and they'll show me the evidence, you know. It's like, oh, God. But that's what he did say. The world is engaged in the largest clinical trial, the largest global vaccination trial ever. We sure are, Greg, and you're an arsehole.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're fancy murderer, mate. Saying that you're in that interview when he's just got through saying it's all safe and effective, and now we're in a trial? Hello?
Yeah, that's right.
You fuckwit.
We are in a trial.
Oh. I know, but he keeps saying that it's safe and effective. It's been through rigorous testing. He uses the word rigorous quite a bit.
He's a wanker.
Oh, look, he's a fucking
He's a wanker.
He's a small dick syndrome, I reckon, because he's such a tiny little man.
Such a wanker, this guy.
Yeah, so he's so tiny compared to, you know, say if he was standing next to Scott Morrison, he's like a little pipsqueak.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. It defies belief. These characters in this soap opera, the COVID soap opera. Let's go, Donna. Let's do it, eh?
Sitting here with a heater on in my dressing gown and bed socks.
Yeah, it's freezing. How cold it is Sydney, here, man. It's freezing here too. Imagine Sydney. Jeez, Sydney's like brutal.
I remember I used to do nutraumatics, and I'd be out and about in the middle of winter, and it was freezing.
It's so cold in Sydney. It must, now it might be about 8 degrees or 7 degrees or something, but it feels worse because of that wind just lashing through. It just hits so hard, you know, and you.
Imagine being in Melbourne right now.
Yeah, all your lips just dry up and crack, and it gets right through into your bones, you know. It gets super cold. It's super cold. I kind of want to put a potbelly stove or something in, like a, you know, like a fire. I think fire's the, you know, like a not a heater, but a fireplace of some type is good, because always works well. You know, I had gas heaters, and they you know, that's toxic, and I got air conditioning. I just put it on heat, but I get clogged up. But you got a fire, you know, you just put a couple of big logs
on it. Slow combustion burner, they call them.
Yeah, they're really good, and you just let it go. And when you're finished with it or you go to bed, you just let it burn out. And it just heats the whole house.
It does. Yeah,
it puts, when a lot of people have it, it gets a bit smoggy, I understand. But with this much wind, you don't need to worry. Blow it all away to New Zealand, you know. It's crazy here. Very cold. Where are we? I have no idea where I'm going, Donna, but we'll just start a
cut. Oh, we'll just wing it like we normally do.
We got you. Yeah, let's do about 45, okay? I'll let you know when we're up. All right, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. It's the Crass Files podcast with Adam, and it's Friday night here in a windy and freezing cold Sydney, Australia. And great to be on deck with the listeners. Donna is here with me our Friday night chats. And everything's up on the website, crassfiles.com. So plenty going up. Contact me through there and comment away and enjoy the website. Thanks to the members as well. And you can support me over there. Just click on the banner. There's been a few great members plugging in lately. I had a couple today, which is great. And had some people contact me from many different countries. That's been awesome as well. Hi to everyone out there. And click on the banner there and shout me a cup of coffee a month. And check out the members area and all the great stuff going up. And as I was saying to Donna the other day, I'll be here at night, usually around this time, around 8 or so, or to 9, and bang, my website goes down, and the hosting told me it was hit 2,000 times nearly in 20 minutes. This is brute force hits, so they just hit the website. I guess they're trying to get into it so they can pull it all apart, but it ain't going to happen. And I don't mind logging out and having the website go down on me, but this is the price I pay for incredible protection, so we're getting hit here, you know, and I can see it. It's been okay the last few nights, but sometimes, mostly in the week, it'll just hit and the site goes down. I'm like, I'll let the robots deal with it, and then the site comes back up and I continue my work. The Crass Files website stays up, and the information there continues to go, and there's thousands on there a day, and every article I put up, you know, when I put up articles on that website, you know, showing the damage caused by these experimental, jabs, COVID jabs, this technology going into people, and I put stuff up or BitChute things or whatever information I put up, and people are accessing that freely, it's a great feeling because we are in such critical times now. I was just saying on the show last night, Donna, with Michael, great guy, the big protests are all around the country tomorrow. It's going to be a big day, and thousands upon thousands of people will be out there, and great guests and speakers, so we covered all of that. And so great work that that he is doing. And I was just saying to him that I was looking through the media yesterday, just having a look through, and that the I hate saying vaccine because it isn't a vaccine, but the hesitancy to the COVID jabs are tremendous in Australia. And I'm getting Skypes from some American guests, and they're saying, good on you guys in Australia, because they're hearing about it as well in the world news. Just not enough of us are jabbed here, yeah. And the media was telling me one in three or one in six Australians either don't want it or are going to wait or are worried. So, you know, this is why at this point is so incredibly important for us to, you know, to have protests or marches and to keep talking and get the information out. But apparently the vaccine hesitancy in Australia and the rollout, they've absolutely been lying about everything. You know, we were doing podcasts a while ago where they were telling us there was so many people getting jabbed and it was over the 2 million mark. I don't even think it's at the million mark from what I've been looking at.
No.
And I think it's actually under the million. It's actually, you know, if you were looking at the government and their rollout, it's a catastrophe in that way. And now ScoMo's, you know, on top of this disaster, he's going to order in millions of doses of the Moderna jab, which is the worst one. This is the one that's full of the technology, you know, and this is the one that's the worst of any of them. And he's going to bring this in and telling us that we're all going to have it by November. It ain't going to happen, ScoMo. And on the back of this yesterday, ABC News, I went over this last night, on the Melbourne lockdown, ABC News, these slimy, disgusting, despicable cretins, they bring out this article right on the back of the Melbourne, after what they've done in Melbourne and to Victorian people. This article header is, the Melbourne COVID outbreak may have done more to shake vaccine hesitancy than the national advertising campaign.
And of so, $40 million.
That's right. And here it says, now we know what it takes to shake vaccine hesitancy and complacency, a COVID outbreak and lockdowns, of course. So, you know, here we go. And so, you know, we were talking about this last night, and Michael was saying that he's hearing a lot of people are rushing to get the jabs and are rushing to get tested. And this is going to be mixed with a lot of manipulation and social engineering and basically flat out lies, that people are now rushing to get jabs. So I wouldn't buy it, but I think a lot more people will be going to get their jabs around the state of Victoria based on these new lockdowns, because it creates belief in the virus. It scares more people. The you know, they open up more vaccine hubs, and it is going to get a lot more people jabbed, unfortunately, and that's a shame. And that will that's not good for us because we have such a low uptake. But I think it's going to roll on. They're already mentioning New South Wales again now. You know, they're finding it in people's poo again, and they're putting us all on alert again. So I'm just wondering how long this Victoria lockdown is going to be, if this is going to be a brutal one. It looks like it could go beyond a week. I'm not sure. And it looks like it's going to roll on like it did last year onto us. And then Queensland again, with the borders shutting again, they're going back to the old playbook. You know, when other countries are moving on, because other countries have enough people jabbed, obviously, to open the economy more and all of this, but we don't. So they're like run out of ideas, because not enough of us are taking the jabs in this country. And how I see it is Victoria being held to ransom, showing up to the rest of us. This is what happens when you don't get jabs. So this is a threat. I look at Victoria and I see a threat by this government. They're threatening us to roll up your sleeves and come and get jabbed, or we're going to lock you down. That's what they've done this for, no reason. It's absolutely insane. People are suffering down there. They're struggling. God knows this is going to cripple and destroy so many lives and businesses again.
Victoria's screwed.
I think most people are just going to... There's going to be so much suicide. There's going to be...
Mum tonight.
It's so sad. It's so sad to see them do this,
yeah,
what they're doing. And I was reading an article tonight people down there, their boy drowned. I don't know if you saw that. He drowned in holiday care or something like that, and he died. And they've said no to having more people at the funeral or something. So it's just ghastly. It's dehumanizing. You know, it's just it's just incredible to see. And the billions of dollars, as you said, yeah, wasted. And now they're going to lock them down again for another week. It's just it's just horrifying. We didn't know if there was going to be more lockdowns, but bang, here we go, back to the old Daniel Andrews days. They've recycled the lockdowns, and I feel like this, to me personally, is a threat. You know, that's how I see it. It's just, you well, know, like not I enough said, of you know, jabbing. So, yeah, and I feel like, Donna, the lockdowns, and if this, I feel like this is how they're going to force it. I really do. I think that they're going to do it in New South Wales next. They're going to have another fake outbreak. And the same thing's going to happen in New South Wales and Sydney. They're going to lock us down again, Donna. It's coming. I'm telling you, we called it on our shows, and it's happened, and now it's going to roll on. They're just going over the same thing again, and people are going to, many more people are going to rush to the hubs, and they're going to get jabbed. And then once they get that, whatever number it is of people that they want jabbed with this stuff, then things will change. But until that number is reached, the lockdowns will continue. We're stuck in the old system. That's why we're seeing other countries around the world, they're getting so many people vaccinated, they're moving forward with the operation. But we're still stuck in the dark ages here. We're looking at that, Donna. So they're locking us down again because there's nothing else to do. So incredible times.
Oh, they'll just keep repeating it because it's working. You know, it's just it's so predictable. It really is. I mean, once they've realized the stats of this so-called hesitancy, as they call it,
not wanting
they don't,
to
don't
die.
Like that. They don't like that. I just hope the hospitals have got plenty of body bags, because there's going to be a lot of people dying down in Victoria now, you know.
Well, they're getting tested as well, aren't they, like Andrews did, and that's going to prop up the numbers as well. You know, the false testing. I don't even think they test them. They take the tests anywhere. They probably just get thrown in the garbage somewhere, or they go to China. But they're just telling you whatever they want. It was absolutely incredible the other morning. I jumped on just to see what the announcement was, what was going to happen here. And they mentioned that all of Victoria, not Melbourne, all of Victoria has gone into lockdown from midnight the other night. And it was just it was absolutely amazing to see the morning breakfast shows. They had alerts running on the bottom of the screen. They had big alerts over half the screen that were in red, you know, outbreak, Victoria, lockdowns, you know. It was just, they've taken the propaganda to another level now, because not enough of us are getting the jabs, and they're in a real mess here. So they're like, what are we going to do? We can't force them. They can't force us. So they're like, what do? We just take it up to another level, and we reintroduce the lockdowns, and we scare the shit out of them. And when they're scared and they've got nowhere to run, we prop up these vaccine hub centers everywhere. So they just walk straight into them like a lamb to the slaughter. You know, that's what it is. And that's what you are if you get one of these jabs. You're not even a lamb. A lamb's cute. You're a rat. You're a rat taking the bait. That's what you are. So we would say to our listeners and everybody, you know, don't fall for it. Call their bluff, hold the line, you know, keep your poker face going, and let's just continue to move through this, because it's, what did we say, Donna, how many times on this show? We're going into stormy seas, stormy weather. It's going to get hard. It's going to get really hard on all of us. They're going to attempt things that we just can't believe, but we've got to hold our line. And just keep moving forward. Do not fall for it. That's what the message I want to get out to people. I know it must be so tough for them down there. I really do. My goodness, people are locked in their houses and apartments again in Victoria and in Melbourne in the middle of winter, Donna. And then, you know, they can't go out or do anything. Michael was saying that last night. It's terrible. He's got an autistic son. And he goes and he does things. He goes to school. He goes to classes. He has to keep him going, you know, and now he's stuck in the place. And this is what's happening to people, you know.
This is the year of terror.
Yeah,
this
it is, really, it's is the terror year against of terror, the public, and isn't
it's not even started yet.
Not even started, folks.
No, I'm serious, because a cyber attack is imminent.
I think so too.
Yeah. And food, so I'm buying a generator. I'm stocking up on more food. I'm buying one of those slimline water tanks that's made out of corrugated colorbond. And I'm seriously getting prepared now. I mean, I've got a bit of a bug out kit as it is, but I need these bigger things, you know, like I need to generate energy. And also to have enough water, although I have got bottled water, which I've bottled myself from my own system. But, yeah, it's not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough. Look, who knows? I mean,
can you do?
Max Egan is talking about could be from anywhere between 3 days and 3 months.
Yeah, that's right.
So you need to look at the worst-case scenario and make sure that you've got enough supplies to weather this out. God only knows what they've got planned after that. Who knows? I mean, we've got the fake alien attack that they're, been talking about for ages, but I wouldn't put anything past them, to be honest. I mean, who would have thought in 2019, who would have ever thought that they would have done what they've done in the last, 15 months?
Well,
nobody.
Yeah, but I was talking ages ago, Donna, about that guy in the US I was mentioning, the bug out guy that was saying, how are they going to disarm America? You know, you just starve them out, and then they've got to go into these camps, these FEMA camps, and to get food and water and medicine and shelter and asthma puffers and things like that. You got to give up your weapons. Think about it like that. And we've said this so many times on the show, they can't force us to be jabbed. They can't. So they want enough people to be jabbed to get on with, get on with life here. And the few of us that don't, which is what it was supposed to be, they'll deal with us later or whatever. But not, the numbers are too high here. So look, they can't force us. They can't make us jab. So they're just going to ramp this up now. But what comes after that? Yeah. What if this just continues to happen and people don't want it? Well, then what could they do? Well, they could take away they could have a cyber attack. They could take our power out. They could stop our food. They could make it so we have to go somewhere to get fed or to get, blankets or medicines and things. And to get it, you've got to get jabbed. So just leading you and leading you and leading you, that's what they'll do. They could do anything. They could withhold anything that they want from us to get us jabbed if it comes down to that. And they're going to go there. They're prepared to go there. So we have to be prepared. But, even if you, I would say to people, just at least try to be prepared for 6 months because I know other people are more professional at this. And, you don't know how long it could be. We don't know. There's been some weird drills and things happening. Yeah. We don't know
canned stuff isn't the most healthiest way to eat. But, if you haven't got a lot of choice, it's the next best thing. Dehydrated, like beef jerkies or whatever you're into as far as protein, protein powders. I've got heaps of that. Just anything dried, cryo frozen, what do they call it? Just anything that won't break down, that doesn't need refrigeration, and just go onto a preppers page. That's what I did. I bought a whole stack of stuff from a preppers Australian preppers page, and they've got everything you could think of on there. And, they cater for people who are going camping. Well, just imagine you're going camping, but you're going camping in your own home.
That's right.
I've got like 30-litre containers that I filled up with water. I've got 8 of them, and I'm going to use them just for, bathing. And then with the drinking water, well, I've got my bottled water. So I bought a whole stack of that Fiji water, and I know people say, that's not very, purified. But, at the end of the day, can't be too fussy, can we? We've got to have moisture, we've got to have fluids, and we've got to have solid foods. And if you're growing a veggie patch, kudos to you. I've got a little one, but I need a much bigger one. And I went to the last networking lunch last Sunday. It was fantastic. this girl, she's amazing. She's a permaculturalist. She knows everything there is to know. She's got a companion plants with all of her fruits and vegetables. She's on about 100 acres, off-grid, 12 solar panels on her roof, doesn't need the grid at all. Big water tanks, and she's got two pigs. She's got about probably half a dozen chickens, a couple of roosters. She doesn't have any cattle or anything like that, but her goal is to actually use up some of that land that's arable to continue on with her vegetables and fruits, fruit trees, and to have like a bit of a community where everybody can be off-grid that actually lives on the land with where they are. She's only about half an hour away from me, so she's about probably a little bit out from Nimbin. It's hard to describe. It's off the beaten track a little bit. No through road, so she's totally remote, and I loved it. They live in a big shed, huge shed, but it's all decked out, and beautiful children. They're not on the internet all the time. They're out playing, you know, outside, doing what kids normally used to do. And, majority of the tribe came, which was good. A few people couldn't make it because of the short notice. So the girls, her name's Sarah and her sister's called Haley, and they're both going to the Broadbeach Gold Coast rally tomorrow. So we've got Max Egan speaking. I'm pretty sure Jamie McIntyre from the Australian National Review, he lives on the Gold Coast. I'm pretty sure he'll be there. You've got Dave O'Neagues, who's quite vocal now. He's a Gold Coast activist. And who else was I thinking that was going to be there? Can't remember. But there's some good speakers going to be there tomorrow, so I'm really looking forward to it. Got another friend of mine, Steve, who I met through another woman who came to my first networking lunch. He's freaking out. He's like, I'm getting scared now. And I said, well, you know, feel the fear and do it anyway. If I can help in any way, you know, you're very welcome to come and visit me whenever you feel like that. You know, it's getting really nervous. And I said, well, come with me to the Gold Coast to the Freedom events. Rally.
Yeah,
and link up with people. You will be with like-minded people. He said, I've never been to one. I said, well, you're going to feel empowered when you come away from that. That's right. So he's going to be here at about 9:30 in the morning. So it takes about 2 hours from here to get to Kawara Beach. It is right on the beach. It is Kawara Park, right on the beach in Broadbeach. Beautiful part of the world. And, so I'm really excited about doing that. And I went and got a core flute from the guy that I bought my house through, a real estate agent, core flute sign, and just made my own sign. And I just said on it, in bright red letters, say no to vax passports. And in the O of the no, I just drew in freehand. I'm getting quite creative in my old age. A hypodermic needle with some blood dripping out of it. So, yeah, Mum said it looked really, really good. She was my critic for the evening.
You can take it to the protests on the top of the car in the chair like the Beverly Hillbillies, you know? She can be sitting up there like, yeah. go get them.
Well, if Mum was a little bit more mobile, I mean, she's very, very wobbly on her feet, so I can't take her.
That's good. Good you got the support anyway.
Yeah, no, I can't take her because, yeah.
No, that's good. You've done well. I think we were discussing that last night with Michael, that he mentioned that these rallies are great for those people who are feeling alone or scared or worried, because they do get you at that individual level, and that's why they want you to stay home in a mask, you know, and worrying. I'm going to go and get jabbed, you know. But when you go out and you see all these thousands of people and speakers, I mean, the Sydney one's going to be incredible. He's got political figures there, doctors. I think Dr. Judy Weilerman's going there. Yeah, it's just huge, you know. You're going to have all these important people. You're getting One Nation and many of these people backing this and against these passports. So, you know, I was saying last night, I think we can show the world here that these, you know, like something like these COVID passports to travel within our own borders will fail, and we can make it fail. I think we can really get there. And, you know, they're going to go toe-to-toe, this government, and they're going to pull out all the tricks. But I think most people would see now that this is a scam. You know, I think I was saying that last night. I think the Indians would see that because there's a billion of them. And if you know, I mean, you think about it like this, Donna, if this COVID-19 variant from India is so deadly and it's on the and it's raging through Victoria, everybody would be dying. You know, yeah, everybody would be sick. That's right.
But where are all the ambulance sirens?
If you're going to, if the government are going to lock down an entire state of human beings, then that tells me that this is a killer virus and you're going to die if you get it. Even if you look across at a neighbor across the street, they're going to get it. Or your family's going to get it. Everyone's going to die. But nothing's happening. So, and the Indians, I think they can see that. And I've seen all these BitChute videos where Indians are there at markets and everyone's going about their day and happy.
Posted,
and
I posted a very short little video of this guy in India, in Mumbai, and he's just videoing, you know, like as he's talking, you can see behind him that it's business as usual. Nothing's going on over there. It's all lies, all propaganda to scare the shit out of the Westerners.
Did you see that article from India? That was a classic. They're saying that it's a hoax and the vaccine's going to kill us. That was from Aligarh residents who sworn against taking the shot. These are Hindus and Muslims, young and old, and none of them are going to get it. They're claiming that 99% of people who get this jab are going to die. And they're not falling for it. And these people are poor, you know, and they can see the con. And they know if they get injected with that, they're going to die. And so the rumors are spreading. And everyone that they're talking to in these articles, they're not going to take it. Their wives, their children, no one.
They've had a huge, long history of vaccine disasters through Bill Gates.
They know.
And, you know, and they were sterilizing their women over there with the DTP shot. You know, the tetanus part of that shot is designed to sterilize. And they found out about it.
They know, Donna. Look at this. And they say, meanwhile, people across the city, which is under lockdown, continue to flock across the streets and in the shops and lanes without social distancing measures or wearing masks. And this is what I'm saying. This is what we were saying last night. This is what Victoria need to do. Go back to your lives. Completely ignore them. What can they do? They can't arrest everybody. The police will be overwhelmed. There's not enough. They're just going to have to stand back and watch everyone go back to their lives. Open the malls, open the shops, open everywhere, the parks, everywhere. Everybody just go like these people are doing and go back to your life. No, they're all going to go on lockdown again. And it's going to continue until we get it. This is, we don't just need massive protests. We need everybody going back to their lives and ignoring it. Walking straight into the shops, not social distancing, no masks, no QR coding. Everybody just getting up and going out in bulk, in mass, and going on with their lives and getting on with things. We need the shops to open and say, come in. You know, we're open. What can they do? Are they going to fine everybody? Are they going to come and arrest every single person? There's millions of people. It ain't going to happen. But here we go. They're locked down a whole state of Victoria when the Indians, after what I just read out, are going about their lives and telling you that the vaccine's going to kill them and that COVID is a hoax. And we're a rich Western nation. And look, you know, we're not getting it. We're just not getting it here. So I think on the back of these protests, we need the passion to build. Not, you know, I'm not saying for people to go out and get angry. I'm saying that we just need everybody to go back to their bloody lives and stop with this. This is insane. It's insane.
Yeah, the problem is with this vaccine rollout, for example, the COVID doesn't exist. But the majority of people think it does. But with the deaths from this jab, that's when you're going to start hearing the ambulance sirens.
I'm hearing
And they're going to put that down to this COVID breakthrough. This is what they're calling it now, the COVID breakthrough, which means that when you have the vax, they're still testing positive. How the hell does that work? But people are falling for it, you know. So you have the jab, and then for some reason, why on earth you would get tested again is beyond me. But
Oh, they do. They do.
yeah, so they're saying that they're blaming the new variant. That's what they're doing.
What
They're
said
blaming the
it's
new variant,
yeah.
saying this vaccine's not working for the new
It's
variant, so you've
setting
got to have
people
another
up for
one.
the new vaccines and
Yeah,
the
that's it.
endless amounts of boosters. That's all it's doing. It's getting you tricked into taking this one and then another one, and then it's tricking you into
What a
accepting that you're going to
psyop.
be taking a whole bunch more, you know, because you want to travel overseas. You're not going over fucking seas. None of us are. Okay, forget it. Forget it.
Yeah,
So I said last
well.
night, let's beat them one at a time. ScoMo wants
Well,
to bring in these passports for us to travel across borders. Let's just mass protest until we push it back and stop it. Hey, they might come back again later, but let's stop it now, you know, and bide some time. And then let's move on to the, you know, we don't have to worry about international borders. Don't worry about traveling, folks. Where do you want to go that you so desperately want to go? You know,
Well, I'm more
you
concerned about the state borders. That's what I'm
that's right.
fighting
That's right. We
against
have to
right
fight
now.
for our country, Donna. Don't worry about going overseas.
I rang my local federal MP, Kevin Hogan, who looks after the electorate page, which is where I am. And of course, he's in Canberra, isn't he? Right. So I rang, when was it, last Friday? And I gave him the benefit of the doubt to call me back by Monday. Didn't hear from him. So I rang Tuesday morning again. And this woman answers this time. So the first person that answered the phone on the Friday was a male person. So I get a woman on the Tuesday morning, obviously his secretary. Anyway, she said, "Oh, he's in Canberra at the moment and he won't be back till the end of June." I said, "Well, that's no good to me because Scott Morrison is proposing this bill to have a vaccine passport for our borders, which I highly object to, because my daughter lives on the Gold Coast." You know what she said to me? She said, "Oh, I've got family in Brisbane and I'm a bit concerned about that too." Wow. So I said, "Well, there you go." I said, "It's affecting you, it's affecting me, it's affecting a lot of people." I said, "I'm absolutely outraged at this proposal and I'm going to do everything I can to stop it. And I want to speak to our local member, of which I pay his wages." I made that very clear. And, "Oh, well, I'm terribly sorry, but you could email him." I said, "No, I don't want to email him. I want to speak to him. I want to see him face to face." As my local federal member of parliament, I have a right to have a one-on-one with him. In fact, it's not just going to be me, it's going to be a whole tribe of us because we've got family in all states. And if he puts this bill through, I won't be able to ever see my daughter again because I refuse to take this poisonous vaccine. She went all quiet. So, I know I was probably talking to the wrong person, but I had to vent. And I know that she'll probably pass that on in some way, shape, or form of what I said, my concerns.
You've made her
And they're
think things
genuine
through.
concerns. This is outrageous. I'm not going to put up with it. So anyway, so he's down in Canberra, and one of my
Another
awake
wanker.
friends sent me a message saying, "Oh, well, I've just seen Kevin promoting Beef Week or something." Oh, well, good on him, promoting Beef Week.
Oh.
I mean, there's a few more pressing issues than Beef
Well,
Week.
yeah, Anastasia
For fuck's
Palaszczuk,
sake.
the Premier of Queensland, she's up there boasting about how they want the state of origin footy.
Oh yeah,
When
no,
Brisbane,
you
when
can't interfere with the football.
yeah,
That's
when Melbourne and
that.
Victoria are going into brutal lockdown again
Jesus
and
Christ.
losing all their businesses and people are committing suicide, and she's up there smiling away to the cameras with all these wankers in suits behind her wobbling their heads. "We're great in Queensland," she says. "We want the state of origin up here. We want to make it a showpiece and everything." It's like, fucking hell, these people, you know. Oh my
I mean, I
God.
was standing waiting to be served in the IGA the other day, and I had my Twilight Zone t-shirt on, and this woman was standing in front of me, and she had a uniform on, and I couldn't quite read the little logo on the top left-hand top part of her top, and she looked at me and she said, "I totally agree." I said, "Oh, you mean my t-shirt?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Where do you work?" She says, "I'm in aged care." I went, "Oh my God." And she just looked at me and with this horrified look on her face and rolled her eyes. I said, wow. I said, that bad, huh? She goes, uh-huh. I said, I know you. I know you're gagged. I know all the doctors, nurses, all frontline workers are gagged. I've seen the email. She said, she nodded her head at me. And, of course, the line moved. So
yeah, watch out for black vans, Donna, pulling up out the front.
Yes, you keep worrying about me, but with the black vans.
She's probably nodding her head at you, thinking, oh, my God, they're watching me in the cameras.
Oh, no,
you know?
I think that she's experiencing deaths in the nursing homes.
Yeah, but they're so worried about saying anything or speaking out because of the gag order, you know. They're threatened.
Yeah, I could tell that there was a touch of fear in her eyes. But it's like she wanted to talk to me, but she couldn't. And I completely understood, you know, like, but then again, you know, at the end of the day, look at the other people that are leaving their roles in their positions to speak out, but not a lot happening in Australia, I'm afraid, which is very disappointing. I mean, look, we've got the Judy Weilermans and Dr. Peace was his name, down in Melbourne. Mm. He was absolutely stripped of everything and vilified. So I guess they're all just, big cowards sitting in fear.
They need to form a group or something, Donna, so they, an organisation so they can go together because they're worried at a single level that they're going to lose. But they need, we need that in this country, that we need to form.
You're safer in numbers.
Yeah, a safe in numbers kind of group for all medical people and doctors, nurses, all of them, like something that they can all do together, and blow the whistle. Because imagine what they're seeing in there that we're not being told in nursing homes. Imagine what they're seeing. I'm hearing about it, and it's like I can't even imagine.
Certain areas, they say in Melbourne or just say the capital cities for an example, and enough of them got together, they could set up their own, not so much integrated because you have to be a doctor to be integrated, like get your own license with the medical board, which I'll shut you down in 5 minutes, but just do the alternative like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny has done. She's a holistic healer. And she used to work in a very busy ER in a huge hospital. And she realized what was going on and she thought, no, stuff this. I don't want to be part of it anymore. Why can't these other doctors do that if they're sitting there in fear, wondering where their next $1 million is going to come from? Because they're all on a very, very high income. They're getting kickbacks all over the place from the government and the Australian Medical Association to be involved with all of this. How do they sleep at night? I just don't understand. I really don't. How do they live with themselves? Obviously don't have very much a conscience. They're just so happy to continue jabbing or continue being involved in a medical centre that does jab. Because I know a lot of the doctors don't do it themselves, a lot of the nurses or the pathologists might do it, the ones that take your blood. They might be the ones that jab you. But, it certainly is disappointing.
I got an email the other night from a listener, and it says here, what we need to set up in Australia before the coming apartheid created by the soon-to-be-introduced e-vaccine passports is a directory of businesses that will permit the COVID-injected refusers to enter and conduct business with them. So that she's just saying here, great work for the hairdressers who are doing this as well.
Yes, I think that hairdresser from the Gold Coast might be there
as
tomorrow.
As well, she's speaking at that event. It's saying here that people who are not, injected with this filth, are being rejected in countries, it's becoming clear now that according to some doctors, and big reports that are coming out, obviously the health hazards, after being injected with this stuff is very, very bad. What else does it say? Here's an example from Austria, where this is going on. Says Vienna, Austria, the so-called relaxation of COVID restrictions that politicians are currently promising are an outright scam. They apply only to vaccinated persons while all others are degraded to second-class citizens who are either allowed who are neither allowed to participate in cultural events or nor to enter restaurants, or can only buy access by permanently testing themselves for the virus to be virus free. So they've got to do permanent tests and lockdowns and things like that to really do anything. They're saying an entrepreneurial network, AniMap, A-N-I-M-A-P, is now opposing this apartheid, at least in Austria, and the organisers claim that they want to use their network to counteract this discrimination and exclusion of those who do not want to be injected with this technology. And first or foremost, it is a business and product directory. So customers can use the website to find businesses that, according to their own description, do not exclude anyone with regard to the COVID-19 vaccination, but grant all people free access to their products and their services and stores.
Fantastic.
So this is really good. This is in Austria, and all the links are here as well. So the core element of the platform is an online map on which participating shops and businesses can be found. So like an app as well, I guess, for Austria. More than 900 addresses can currently be found there. And there is now also an AniMap offshoot for Germany, which lists over 5,300 stores, and it's growing. So this was an email I got the other night, which is fantastic. Really great to hear, and this is what we need to do. Maybe we can start getting apps where people just go on their app and they find all the stores that they can go to freely and buy what they want without being discriminated against. Because this is what's happening. Segregation. You're dirty. You're filthy. We don't want you because
you're filthy, dirty, disease spreaders.
And but these people who have been jabbed with this stuff, you just want everyone else to get it because you're not happy, you know? You just want everyone else to get it because, you're not confident in getting it and you're worried, you know? So you want all of us to do it? I don't think so. We're the clean ones. You're the dirty ones. So keep your stores to yourself and we'll go this way. I think this is a fantastic idea because, I think what these ladies are doing is based really on this up there in Queensland. Good on them. If they don't want these jabbed people in their stores,
that's her policy.
If you don't
want
people in masks in your stores, don't do it. If you don't want to use a QR system, don't do it.
Exactly. So as far as the, the policies that they're saying, oh, you can't enter unless you've had a vaccine or had a jab. Sorry. Someone calling me.
You're right.
Sorry, I'll just do a little message. the same applies. So, if you say I can't come in without showing that I've been tested or whatever it may be, whether you've had the jab or not, we can do the same thing. We can play the same game, like just what you said. So you can't come in if you've been jabbed with this DNA changing therapy. So too bad, so sad. So that we can just reverse it back onto them.
Well, yeah, I'm hearing that from people. They're saying they're actually not wanted in places, that these people have had their jabs. They're acting like this. I don't want it to be like that. I don't. Because, it causes more split in society and us against them. But we've got no choice. If that's the way it's got to be, then, we'll create our own communities and our own shops.
Fire with fire.
Yeah, that's right. You have to. Because, I'm not going to get it. All of us are in it for the long haul. We're the hard slog, man. They're going to continue this nonsense until millions of us just keep going back to our normal lives and ignore this, and people at work start doing it, I was thinking the other week, when Berejiklian in New South Wales brought in these silly restrictions again, and she made everyone on the Sydney buses and transport wear the masks, and I was thinking, what if all the bus transport and train systems and ferries and everything said no, and the bus drivers didn't wear the masks and said you don't have to on the buses, what would they do? These are government controlled,
But see, they know
the government
that's
say cough and they
happen.
Do. Yeah, I know. You know what I mean? It's just small businesses, Donna, that are going to do this, but then the government can crush us any time. But when you start getting bigger companies doing it and even government organizations, but, you know, yeah, the government, it's just unbelievable. It's just going to go over and over and over and over. It's just a vicious circle we're stuck in. They're just going to keep locking us down until enough of us get jabbed. And people just don't see this. It's just really the honest, bare knuckles truth of it. Not enough of us are jabbed, so they're going to keep locking people down until more of us get jabbed. Like in the US, when half the population, whatever it is, gets jabbed, then they'll start. You know, I'm seeing this stuff in the US with states saying we don't have any restrictions anymore. We can go to ball games and we don't have to wear masks. But how many of you have been jabbed to get to that point where they've let you out like that? And what's happening to people who aren't jabbed? I'm not hearing anything. So, you know, I've just read through what's going on in a country like Austria that you would think would be quite free. But there you go. They're starting to treat them like lepers. You're not welcome back into our society now. You can't come into these shops. We don't want you anymore if you're not jabbed. You know, and that could destroy people and force people to commit suicide on an individual level. Because they, imagine that, you know, it's like, you know, how bad does that make you feel? You know, you go to a party and they don't want you there. You know, and you walk back down the street with your head hanging down, you know. Or nobody, you know, wanted at your work anymore. You know, and you're not wanted by your partner anymore, and your family don't want you to come over anymore, and your sister doesn't want you to come and see their newborn baby. You need to link up with groups and be near people like us. Yeah, and go to these protests and start again. But you need to link up with people, otherwise it's bad.
I'm so lucky. I feel very, very lucky, and I'm very grateful. I've divorced all of my family, even before COVID. And it was to do with my husband's death. And what they put me through, his family mainly, what they put me through, I'll never forgive them. And I don't need them in my life. When his mother died back in 2008, she was the epicenter of that family. And it was a big family. You know, like you had five kids. So Milos was the middle kid. And then you had seven grandkids. So when we had a get-together, we had all the neighbours. They were really lovely. Back then, they were a really lovely Yugoslav family, and they integrated, okay? So they didn't, you know, like they integrated into as much as they could the Australian way. And when we would have, like, I don't know, they used to have, like, all these different get-togethers. They don't have, like, Christmas Day on Christmas Day, our Christmas Day. They would have it the Yugoslav Christmas, which would be usually about a week later. Like, what were they? I can't think of the religion, but anyway, they weren't that religious anyway. But they used to, like, have get-togethers. The whole family would come, and we'd be playing cricket in the backyard, and it was a really great time. You know, she would be in the kitchen. She would have been preparing food days before, and she was a great cook. And I used to have food that I'd never eaten before. You know, like these cabbage rolls she used to make, and stuffed capsicums, beautiful food. And we'd all sit there at this massive table and we'd just all talk and have fun, you know. But when she died, she was the epicenter and that was it. The family wasn't the same. Now, my husband's father is going to be 102 in November. You know what he takes? Aspirin. That's it. Christ. Doesn't take any other drugs. And he's still able to walk around. He's deaf. I think he can still see without glasses at a distance. Can you believe that? 102. So just goes to show.
Aspirin, huh?
That's all he takes. And
so he takes it just for?
Oh, blood thinner probably. But there you go. Yeah, and I don't think, I'm pretty sure, I don't think he's ever had a flu shot or anything like that. So, and then when my husband died, again, he was like a little bit like his mum, very much like his mother, and he was sort of like the epicenter of our little network, if you like. And as soon as he died, I could just see that the family changed again. It was a different level again. So, yeah. So I feel blessed. The fact that I'm not working, I'm now looking after my mum. I don't owe any money on my house. I bought some silver. You know, like I felt like I've done a lot of groundwork prior to right now that has really set me up in a positive way. So I don't have many things that the government can take away from me other than my daughter. And you start fucking around with that, look out. And I'm just going to fight until my last breath, because what else have I got to do? You know what I mean? She's my life. And you threatened to take that opportunity to see my daughter away? Well, I'm just going to give it all I've got. You know? They can't hurt me in any other way. So, and they know that. I know they know that. They're targeting me big time too. They're targeting all the dissenters. They want to get rid of all of us. And with the cyber attack looming, I've heard a few people talk, you know, on BitChute interviews and all sorts of things. You know, Max Egan's the same, saying that the thing that they might do, probably will do, is when they cut this power off, and it won't be all over the world at once. It'll be all different areas. There's going to be like SWAT teams or some sort of military that are going to come in. They're going to know exactly who the dissenters are. They're going to come in the dead of night, and they're going to take us away to these FEMA camps, and they're going to say, right, well, you either take the jab or you're going to get killed. Let's put it that way. It's pretty heavy shit, but that's what I'm hearing, and I wouldn't put it past them.
Mm.
Because we are the thorn in their side. We are doing our utmost to wake up the rest of them, the ones that are sitting on the fence mainly, because the other ones are no hope. They're so indoctrinated, so mind-controlled, there's no hope for them. So they're going to get the jab voluntarily, and they're going to perish. You know? And that's what they want.
Yeah, I guess with all of us out of the way, or gone, yeah. Rest are just food, aren't they? They obviously don't want any dissenters.
No, well, I mean, look, history keeps repeating itself, and people just don't read history. A lot of them have got no clue about what happened in the Second World War, even though, you know, majority of that was lies as well. But a lot of people did die. And, you know, we've got Mengele, who was obsessed with experimenting on twins. I was just listening to Carrie Mullis before we came on the podcast, and that's like a two-hour interview with Gary Null, who's done a lot of interviews, not interviews, a lot of documentaries. I love Gary Null. He just lets it rip. goes right into the AIDS scandal, the cancer industry, everything, vaccines, the whole works. And he was interviewing Carrie Mullis. I'm not sure what year that would have been in, but Carrie looked a little bit younger than the last photo I saw of him, and he would have been in his 70s. I think he was 74 when they killed him, and that was in August of 2019. How convenient. Because if he had been alive and this COVID thing had have been while he was alive, he would have blown the whistle on it big time, because they were using his effing test, which is not meant to diagnose disease. Especially with the magnifications that they're doing it with, you know, anywhere from 40 to 45 magnifications, you can find anything you want. So it's all a big lie. And that's what Dr. Rainer Fulmich, the German-American lawyer that's got this huge class action going on, he said that the test is what's driving this whole thing. It's a case-demic. There's no proof of the virus exists, and the test does not test for disease. So what are we doing? You know, I'm laughing because it's just so ridiculous. And, yeah, it's very interesting to know Carrie's when you listen to what he's talking about with the HIV and AIDS, what an absolute – it's the same thing repeating itself. You think about it. You think about how everybody was in hysteria over that, and I fell for that back then. You know, when I first met my husband, I wouldn't sleep with him until we had our AIDS test done. That's how much I believed it.
Yeah.
So we had to wait 2 weeks for a negative test. PCR again. But I had no idea what it was all about back then. No idea. That was the early 90s.
Well, yeah, shortly when AIDS, when they said it hit the US, they were doing experimental hepatitis B injections on gay men in New York and San Francisco and other parts.
Yeah, I believe it was the ACT. It was the drug that was killing it.
It was giving them the AIDS symptoms and making them sick. So then it triggered the... That's what we were saying last night on every show. The inoculations always trigger the pandemics. And right around that time when they said America had that, and of course, in Africa... You know, people who are malnourished and sick and thirsty and dying of starvation, they went over there with their, you know, HIV drugs, didn't they? Their retros, you know, and unbelievable what was done there. But those homosexual men in the United States were absolutely tested on with experimental jabs again.
Yeah, it could have been the ACT and the Hep B shot because, see, a lot of them... were drug users as well. Not all of them, but, you know, it was a percentage.
A lot were at the time, yeah.
A percentage, yeah. They were right into the drugs. And, of course, they were getting Hep B, okay, with the dirty needles. So then they decided, oh, well, we'll give everybody a Hep B shot. And what was in the shot was causing a lot of problems. And then they came up with the drug AZT, and that was killing them because they kept saying, oh, you have to take it, you have to take it. And as they kept taking it, they were getting sicker and sicker and sicker. But they were blaming AIDS for it.
Yeah, that's right. Same
See,
as now.
See, there's a very similar sort of thing going on right now.
Same back to the Spanish flu.
Yeah.
Yeah, the inoculation programs. Yeah, the jabs caused the pandemics.
Yep.
Always.
Polio.
Always.
Well, you had the DDT, and they were spraying that on everyone. And then you had the polio vaccine. So see the two things that was creating this so-called polio.
And that's the thing, you know, none of these so-called viruses or illnesses exist. They're not real. No. So polio was never real, none of it. But what we
contagion is a myth.
Yeah, but absolutely. What were we given as kids? That's the thing, because there are no viruses. None of this stuff exists. So what the hell do they give us? You know, all of us are an experiment, you know.
Well, we've been poisoned.
Yeah, all of us. All
I mean,
of us.
I'm nearly 60, I'm 59 now, and I'm amazed I'm still alive, to be honest, because I found my baby book, I found my vaccine, immunization, they called it back then, immunization card, and boy, oh boy, didn't I have a lot of that polio syrup.
Yeah.
I had a lot of the DTP shots. Then I had the rubella, the single rubella shot at school, in high school. And then I had quite a few tetanus shots after that, but that's about it. But that's done my damage. That's a lot of poison, you know, from birth right through till probably in my 20s, and that's probably the last time I had a tetanus shot in my 20s. And I'm surprised I'm still kicking. And plus, you know, like all of the GMO foods I used to eat and oh, wow. You got the Roundup. I was living on the farm with my parents when Dad was doing the Roundup on the freaking turf. Freaking hell, you know, like you think back of all the poisonous stuff you've consumed over the years.
It's all blamed on viruses.
Still walking around. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a great way throughout history for... you know, it works so well hand in hand. Government, big industry, pharmaceutical corporations, they all cover for one another, you know.
Plausible deniability. They're experts at it.
Well,
Absolute
yeah. I mean, especially with the, you know, with this introduction of, you know, the pesticide industry going back. If you look at the 1950s in the US, as you said, with the DDT spraying it everywhere and telling Americans that it was good for them. You know, and this was a way for, you know, when it created illness and disease in people.
And then you got the asbestos in the baby powder.
Yeah, that's right, Johnson & Johnson, you know. And, you know, but the drug companies, the pharmaceutical corporations have got lots of vaccines and medicines for you to take because they've got a lot of different names for the reactions that your body's having because you've been poisoned.
That's right, yeah.
You know, but, you know, as we always say, you know, like things like the measles, you know, Jim West did incredible article on that at the New York measles so-called outbreak, and he tracked the contamination. Then they're actually burning fracking fuels. You can see these smokestacks, people's apartments. He tracked the winds, everything. These people over here living in New York don't have measles, but there was a measles clusters here and here and here and here. And he tracked it all, and it's all heavy pollution. And also Jim was talking about in cities where they have this, contaminated areas, and they just put parks on top, and it seeps through the grass and everything, you know, all this stuff that he covers. But it's always, always, and when the environment is omitted from when clusters of people are sick, the virus theory can't stand because, you know, if it just can't happen. You know, when people are sick. It's like, you know what Jim was telling me one night, Donna, and it was so weird. He's such an interesting guy. My mum had a cancer, or like a cancerous growth, burnt off her nose, right on the ridge of your nose there.
Yeah, mum's got one on her back.
Yeah, well, this one blocked her eyes and everything and had to get it burned off. And he said he knew a lady that had one on her ears, not the flap, like underneath, you know, where your glasses sit. And Jim was mentioning the nibs of the plastic glasses.
The plastic, yeah.
Yeah, that it's like
the nose pads.
Yeah, over years, the toxicity from the plastic leaches in there into that point. And then when you go to see the doctor and you've got a cancer on that part of your nose or on those part of your ears, the doctor should traditionally say, do you wear glasses? You know, and they don't.
Oh, I just
thought
of something then. Yeah, it's interesting. What about the little lenses you put on your eyeballs? What are they called?
Contact lenses.
Contact lenses. They would be toxic too.
Yeah, well, it's all plastics, you know. I mean, you get the metal frames, but yeah, Jim was mentioning getting full metal frames if you're wearing glasses because that over the years and years, and as you get older and your immune system gets a bit weaker, you get these growths, and I've seen it in people.
See, I don't have nose pads on my glasses, but with the metal frames, normally they usually have the pads on them that I've seen.
Yeah.
With the metal frames. Yeah. But, oh, wow, that's really interesting. You don't think of these things, do you?
No, I mean, but doctors should be, you know, because with all the doctors and the medical system, they're trained not to do that. And that's why I said when someone comes in with these conditions or clusters of people are sick, what were they, what happened, what have they been exposed to? And that's what Tracy was saying with the chickenpox. You look at the in the schools, you know, when I was in school, I remember they used to clean all the halls with this toxic stuff, you know, like wash it all down, you know, and the kids would breathe it in and they'd get this stuff. Like people told me they were coming in on flights from Bali or somewhere, or Indonesia and places. You come back into Melbourne or Sydney and they spray the plane and they got rashes and all this kind of stuff. So on them. And so, you know, this is the same thing that happened in New York, and they tried to force everyone to get these MMR shots when it was, you know, environment, toxicity, you know, pollution. You know, it's got nothing to do with the virus. You've been, you know, you've breathed in this stuff. You've been contaminated with something. You've touched something and it's made you sick, or you've had this reaction. I mean, the measles could be a million and one things. Flu symptoms could be a million and one things. It's your body telling you that something's happened there, you know? That's what we were discussing with Tracy as well. Like she was saying, usually once a year, especially around Christmas time when you're rushing and doing shopping and then you'll have a break over Christmas, you get flu symptoms. And that usually happens when you have a holiday. And this is this fight or flight sort of mode that our bodies go into. You know, you see people who just work and work and work and they're drinking and they do all this stuff and they never seem to get sick. But when they slow down and they have a break, you get sick because all this stuff's coming out of you and your body's cleansing and it's all snotty and everything like that. And it's called, they call it, you got a flu virus, but it's just your body detoxing. This happens to all of us. Usually once a year I get it, you know, and I just have a rest for a few days and then I'm fine for the rest of the year. It happens. But when the environment is omitted from all of these things, you've got to think this is highly suspect. It's a virus, you know. They've always done that. And that covers for big industry polluters. It makes pharmaceutical corporations money and the government rub their hands together like little crickets, you know. Everything's covered for them. It's a nice, neat job. Our planet gets polluted and these people make money off it. And we're the butt of their joke, you know, because we're getting sick.
It's a hard thing to, because when you've been indoctrinated like this for your whole life and then someone comes up to you and says and tells you about the germ theory versus the terrain theory, you've got to undo everything that you've been brainwashed with, and that is huge. You know, it is a huge turnaround in your belief systems that's been pumped into you for decades, and then someone comes along and says there's no such thing as the contagion, and you go, what? Like, it's taken me a while to get it clear in my head. You can't
catch something, yeah.
Yeah.
They've never proved it.
It's taken me a long time. I've been listening to Dr. Andrew Kaufman, Dr. Tom Cowan. There's this chick over in Canada. She's a doctor. She's brilliant. I love her. She's so funny the way she talks. And there's quite a few of them that are now coming out exposing this, and it's only just come to the forefront because of COVID, you see? So because everything is such a lie with COVID, it's made everybody look deeper and back into history, going right back to Louis Pasteur, who was basically the father of the germ theory, backed by Rockefeller, and that's created this incredibly, like this multi-trillion-dollar industry when you think about how long it's been around and how many drugs and how many names they've called these diseases since the early 1900s. So when I started looking into Louis Pasteur's history, I'm going, what the fuck? You bastard, you lying bastard.
Yeah, he was funded by Rockefeller,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and and on his deathbed, he admitted that the terrain theory was right all along. No such thing as viruses. No such thing as contagion. So if your members, your listeners want to have a little bit of a history lesson, go back and have a look or go on the internet and look at the history of Louis Pasteur, and it will shock you. Because, as I said, he's the father of contagion. So you can't get any more real than that.
That's right. We've covered it in three great shows, all of that history for folks to listen to.
It's good.
Yeah, Tracy Northern covered that. She's friends with Dr. Kaufman and know these people.
Oh, good, so yeah. Well, she knows. Yep.
Great researcher, incredible, and a bit shy, but got her out of her shell, and she did three presentations, germ theory, contagion, and another one sort of on isolation or looking at that kind of whole thing. So they're really worth listening to and done. There's thousands of views on BitChute.
Oh, and Dr. Robert Young is another guy.
Yeah.
I love listening to him. He's really good. He teams up with that nurse over in the UK. I can't think of her name now, but she's right out there. I mean, every rally, she stood next to David Icke when he spoke at one of the massive rallies they had over in London. And, she's Kate Shamarano or something like that. She's brilliant. They're really coming after her big time. She's got that many court cases. So, So really interesting, exciting rally coming up tomorrow. I can't wait.
I've put all the information up and they're happening. So in the last podcast, so people are going to be really, really good. So let us know, Donna, how yours goes.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm out of Facebook jail now, as you can see, but I've now been put back into an account restriction for doing any live feeds, which I've never done in my life, and I'm not allowed to advertise for 90 days. So that's my slap on the wrist, my continued slap on the wrist for spreading truth. But anyway, I can video what I see tomorrow. I'll just do a video And I'll do maybe two or three videos of the crowd and maybe interview a couple of people I know that's brave enough. And just do that and just post it online.
Crikey, so you'll be sleeping one night and you'll hear a creak in your room and turn on the light and Mark Zuckerberg will be standing over you, know?
Oh, he loves me. He just loves me.
This alien entity.
I'm waiting to see
looks like an alien
last again because I'm going full hell for leather at the moment as I normally do when I come back on. I just try and get as much out there as I can before he presses that button.
There's so much. Just a couple of articles before we plug out, Donna. Doctors are now urging to look for signs of stroke in young people after they receive the AstraZeneca vaccine. Can you believe this? Doctors are being urged to look for signs of stroke in young people after receiving this stuff. After another woman died and suffered a blood clot and all of this, and another woman and a man, a woman in her 30s and another man in his 40s suffered clots in the large arteries, and all of this, and now they're looking at strokes, and there's a bunch. There was also a BBC presenter who died after getting the COVID jab. She's a BBC radio presenter. We were covering that as well, and it's up on social media. And her family said she suffered bleeding in her head days after taking the AstraZeneca vaccine.
Same article. Can you believe that?
Yeah, she died.
Michelle Claire Mayer.
Yeah,
she posted it.
Her inside her head was bleeding, and she was complaining of terrifying headaches, and she was being treated for blood clots. This was just a few days after getting
it. She's so young, 44.
She has died. And look at this one, Donna, as well. These are ones I couldn't cover. This is from the Tribune over at Renegade. Canada pop-up clinic offers kids free ice creams to get COVID vaccine, no parental permission required. So children in Canada as young as 12 are being given free ice cream to take Pfizer's experimental mRNA therapy vaccine with no parental permission required. And bunches of police were filmed guarding one site from outraged parents at Nathan Phillips Square in Toronto. I can see the thing here. Holiday news. Great holiday news, kids. Our pop-up vaccine team is coming to Nathan Phillips Square, 12-plus-year-olds, to be jabbed this Sunday. Kickstart your COVID career. COVID-19 vaccine, Nathan Phillips Square. And it's got the address and everything. The whole thing's here. It's unbelievable. For one dose only. All neighborhoods across the city are welcome. Bring proof of your address or ID, and all of this. So unbelievable. Wow. This is just incredible. And the Health Canada are approving the Pfizer COVID-19 jabs for those aged 12 to 15 years old on May the 5th, making Canada the first country in the world to do so.
Yep.
Which is absolutely unbelievable. And the CDC is investigating dozens of reports of heart inflammation in teenagers and young adults after getting these doses as well, according to the Daily Mail as well. And there has been nearly 1,000 adverse events among 12 and 17-year-olds as of Friday on the CDC VAERS database. So unbelievable. Free ice creams, no parents. The parents don't need to give you permission. Just come in and we'll jab you and give you an ice cream. And you can't make this shit up.
No. Did you watch that video of the cops on push bikes and they were blocking the entrance to this pop-up vax hub? And the parents, some parents were, this one particular woman, God, she was vocal and a huge voice on her. And she was swearing her head off and she was saying, "You're poisoning our kids." Did you see that one?
I'm not sure.
It's on BitChute.
Yeah,
it's on BitChute.
Right.
Yeah, no, they were going hell for leather and didn't want to hold back with the language. And they kept saying, "Stop swearing and you're going to, you shouldn't be swearing in front of kids and all this." And she said, "What are you talking about? You're poisoning our kids. Don't tell me to stop swearing. I'm fuming. She was absolutely outraged with what was going on. It went on for a good 10 to 15 minutes, but I watched the whole thing and I was almost in tears watching it. It was, you know, they were basically guarding these parents from going up to the children where they were lined up waiting for their ice cream after the jab.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the cops wouldn't do anything. Like, they're just so mind controlled. It was so sad to watch. It was harrowing, actually.
That's terrible when you're looking at millions of people are going to die. This is going to be a tidal wave.
Not millions,
wave.
Billions.
Yeah, a tidal wave of human misery and death. That's going to trick people into believing that that is actually a pandemic, and they're going to get sucked into this tidal wave of fear, and they're going to get jabbed. It's going to be an absolute disaster if people don't stop this now. We still have time. This is unbelievable. What a killing tool this is, you know.
Perfect crime.
It is really just absolutely incredible. What I'm seeing, and also the intensity of the magnets sticking to people's injection sites on their arms. This is phenomenal as well. I mean, you can't kind of ignore that now. It's all over these social media channels. It seems like thousands upon thousands of people sticking all these magnets and things.
And these people are, you know, they think that they're like some sort of hero or whatever. I don't know what their mindset is, but they think it's a joke. Do they understand what they've got inside them now? It's like, well, you're an idiot.
Yeah, well, I sent you a thing. Is this changing the electric magnetic freak field, you know? You know,
Wi-Fi was trying to connect to him. So he walked up to the TV, and the TV actually on the bottom of it said something. I couldn't quite read it. It had the word AstraZeneca on it. But, yeah, any device he goes up to, it wants to connect to him.
Bloody hell, imagine that, like walking through the mall at, you know, late at night and you can just hear, you know, you walk past Meijer or something and just hear, like, blenders going off, zzz, you know, like TVs turning on, you know, it's like the Poltergeist. It's like, oh, shit, that's me. Crikey.
And he said, and I don't know how to turn it off.
You can't.
And then the guy that's interviewing him or asking him the questions, he goes, he said, well, if you tried to connect, he says, no. He says, I'm too scared to.
He's got to find out what the number is, see if the vaccinate, the pharmaceutical companies can give him some code to log in.
So freaky.
It's weird. That's how
it's going to happen, because 5G is going to start connecting to you.
Well, our Earth is magnetic, isn't it? Our fields and everything.
We're electrical beings.
We're electrical beings, but this is what I've been saying on shows. You know, Robert didn't agree with me hearing this, and I understand. It's just something I wanted to bring up and ask people about the soul, about our consciousness, because this is almost like this. I don't believe our soul is inside us. I think we're attached to it, you know. So I think when the body dies, we move on in that. It's like an energy thing, you know. I think there's a field. It's like we're part of, and I think it's like, is there a war on this to disconnect us? So when we die, there's no connection anymore. You know, that when we die, our soul can't properly connect. Our consciousness can't connect to that energy field. To the afterlife, to these experiences, you know, to this energy, which is what it's all about. Is this what they're working on? I don't know, and I hate to bring it up, and it is horrifying. But, you know, it just seems to me it's an attack on us at that kind of level. If these are DNA-altering jabs, then the DNA has to have something to do with our consciousness. I cover it next week with Barry Eaton, my guest. He's written books on this. I just want to ask him about it and others, but it's very deep, but it's weird.
Fascinating subject.
If we have a consciousness, you know, and this, as you said, this electromagnetic field around us, you know, we are energy, you know. This is people take photos of these orbs and this energy around us that comes out differently in your photos. It comes out as colors and, you know, all of this, you know, it shows you that there's this almost, it's not electricity, but it's a, You know, it's that energy field around us.
Aura.
Yeah, an aura that we have, you know. Everyone has that aura, that color. Yeah. And when we die, we reconnect with this field. And we have different experiences within that. We're in this earth realm now, but is this energy what they're tampering with here and trying to cut off? These fucking soul snatchers. I don't know. Robert says, you know, because he's so intent on that is his soul, that it's the most personal thing ever. Which it is, you know, it's the most personal thing ever. It's your soul, it's who you really are, you know, and if they're trying to tamper with that, I tend to agree with him. I don't think they can get us at all. And I think, I don't want to scare people, I'm just asking the question, because this is very, very weird. It's very, very weird. I think this is technology we just can't even comprehend, what is being injected into people. I really do think it's so far ahead. I mean, this, as I was saying the other night, Donna, it's not like there's this virus out there and the pharmaceutical companies are being pushed by the governments and the health departments and they're scrambling and they're just like, look, we've got this, take this. This is in development. It's planned. This was planned a long time ago. They already had it made up. This is technology that was ready to go. It's planned for a reason and it does something. It didn't just fall there, you know, like, here you are, take this, see what happens. We don't know. I mean, we're not sure what's going to happen. We're being made to believe that. I don't buy it. I think they don't know what's going to happen to our bodies when we have reactions and adverse events to it, but I think the actual technology in there is with intent. It's designed to do something. Well, the FDA
had a list before it was even rolled out. They had a list of adverse events that they were suspecting might happen. So I think they did know. I think they've known a long, long time ago what was going to happen to us. But, I mean, as you say, we are still in an experiment, so they don't know everything about the future.
Yeah, the design of the vaccines, the intent behind it, the mindset of making those vaccines, whatever it is, it's very carefully orchestrated, I feel.
Yeah,
it's to do something to us.
Yeah, it was to turn us into cyborgs.
That's right, that's what people are saying, yeah.
I don't understand how... Like, are they targeting certain blood types? The ones that are going to survive the jab?
I don't know. If you've got magnets and stuff sticking to you, then you're not human anymore.
No.
Really?
And that's what Dr. Professor Luc Montagnier, the French expert over there, he was saying that the people who have been vaccinated, you'd be lucky to last 2 years. And then once they die, these bodies need to be incinerated. That's what he said.
Yeah.
That's frightening. Because he obviously knows what's in these vaccines or jabs. And it's so toxic and so the tech is so scary that the bodies need to be incinerated. No burying them. We need to just get rid of the bodies.
That's totally right.
Frightening. Anyway.
What the hell has been unleashed anyway, Donna? We'll continue one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
One day at a time. And, you know, that's all we can do. All we can do is concentrate on now is what you're going to do tomorrow. And, everything that's happening around the country, I think that in looking at that, I think it's a pretty. I think Australia is the best place to be in that regard. That it seems like most of the population are very just do not want this jab now, and it's only going to get worse. There's more stuff coming out today, and they're only showing us specs, but. It's really weird to me that they're showing us this in the media, and now they're locking down Victoria, you know, and now they're trying to get you in these. They're trying. The government is like a Dracula. It's just desperately trying to sink its teeth into our necks. And then at the same time, the media are showing these horrific injuries. It's very, very crazy times to work out what's really going on. All I could say is they're just trying to get enough of the population jabbed. They need a certain amount of people jabbed here, and we'll find out more and we'll know more soon. There's high strangeness in regards to the technology that's going into people's bodies, and believe me, it's going to get more intense as we know more here. At first, I disregarded a little bit this magnetic thing and you know, people sticking magnets on, but now it's kind of overwhelming to see this happening to people, and I think this is only going to get weirder. The mainstream media are picking it up actually as well, so I think this will only obviously spook more people. Maybe they just need a certain amount of people to be jabbed to infect all of us. Who knows?
You've got a point there.
We don't know. Maybe there's a, you know, maybe the vaccinated vaccinate the rest of the herd type thing, you know. So you jab this person, they walk through a city and everyone gets jabbed, you know. Who knows what kind of technology they're using here? It's technology. So we must understand that, and it's
self-replicating.
And this is, we go back to the metals, the replicating metals, the liquid metal stuff, the black goo, all this stuff. So it's a high strangeness, indeed. We are in the Twilight Zone, absolutely.
Mm. Yeah, my t-shirt is so appropriate
right now. It really is. It's the Twilight Zone. It really is.
I love it. I really love it.
It's a great idea and
I've sold about 5 of them now. And you watch tomorrow. I'm going to wear it tomorrow. You watch all the orders I get from it.
You could put up a little table and sell them, you know, like a...
Yeah.
Or just take a bag, a backpack and sell them for cash.
I mean, look, I'm so used to that with the vaxxed, you know, like when I did the vaxxed screening. So, I mean, I'm old school at that. I'm very organized. But
you're like selling T-shirts at
a concert. I needed help. And Greg, a friend of mine in Queensland, he helped me with the first couple. I did one in Logan, which was the launch of it. And then the next one was in Maroochydore. In an RSL, and I needed help because there were stairs involved there, and it was both were hugely successful. Well, in fact, all of them that I went to was hugely successful. But yeah, that's a thought. And I must get your size as well. I want to send you a black T-shirt. I'm going to send you this one that I'm wearing because it's so effective. It really hones in to most people's thoughts, you know, like they're agreeing.
That makes
a lot of sense.
Yeah, yep. I'm usually just large because when it goes in the dryer, it shrinks. So I usually get the large because it always shrinks in the dryer, so it lasts longer.
Yeah, I might need some measurements because I've had one woman say to me, "Oh, the large woman's T-shirt didn't fit her," but then I haven't had any complaints from anybody else.
All right, that's how you do it. Yeah.
I did sell one to a guy and it fitted him perfectly. And the rest of the women were happy with theirs. So maybe, I don't know, maybe she had big boobs or something. I don't know. But
could do, yeah.
Yeah, that definitely can, you know, send you up another size. But yeah, so I'm happy to do that, no problem.
All right, Donna, great to chat with you. Let us know tomorrow night how you go and what happened there and the speakers and everything. I'm sure we'll be able to plug it next week and chat about all of that.
Yeah, well, I'll send you the video.
Yeah, for sure.
Of what I do. And
a 10-minute one of someone speaking or a couple of those, just keep them around 10, no more than 10 to 12 minutes, 11, around 11, no more than 11 minutes, like of someone speaking or whatever, or just the crowd, or you're talking to someone. If you do a couple of those, I can post them on the website for the members to watch, because I've got a video area in there.
Cool.
Yeah, but it only allows me a certain amount to upload there, so I usually do it around that, and then I can press them down so you can do that. But let us know how you go, and it should be an amazing day all around the country tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I'm actually going to introduce myself to Jamie McIntyre because I really like him. I've met Max already at one of the Brisbane rallies. But yeah, I might get a couple of photos taken with them and stuff like that. It's all just good for the morale.
That's right. Exciting times. It's going to be awesome all across the country. We're not a big country of people, but this is, you know, to see if it's going to be thousands upon thousands across the country, maybe even a million. Who knows, all up. Going to be big in Melbourne, hopefully, and well, Sydney's going to be huge. Well, the timing's right. Yeah, it is. Sydney's going to be massive. And with the speakers.
Of what's going on in Victoria.
Yeah, yeah. As well, yeah. Enough's enough. And such amazing speakers. I think everyone's going to go along, so it's going to be great. Okay, Donna, we'll plug out for tonight. Great show and speaking with you. I hope everyone takes care and go off that old guy, folks, that Donna was mentioning. Wow, yeah, get into your Maybush and your Meadow Sweets for your aspirin and these kinds of things.
Oh, so, my father-in-law, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for your natural aspirin.
102 in November.
Yeah, there's a lot of trees and barks and shrubs and things that you get your aspirin, they get the aspirin out of. So as I said, you know, the steeple bushes and meadow sweets and things, and the maybush and all those kinds of things. You can plant them at home. Well, these are all, you know, this powerful stuff that we have in nature that's right there, you know, not just the cannabis plants, but this kind of powerful stuff. All these medicines are backed up from nature. That's where they get them all, extracted all from Mother Nature, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all there, and we need to keep our bodies healthy at this time, and immune systems up, indeed. Mm-hmm. So you know, get your very vitamin important. D. Yeah, keep your immune system strong. Keep exercising. Keep fit. Keep your bodies well and maintained, because we're in this for the fight. And you don't want to be sick. And please, please tell everyone you know to stay away from these jabs. They just want to get you one. They just want you to get one. Just one jab. Come in for one jab. Just get that one jab. Don't do it. Don't do it. This isn't like traditional jabs, you know. It's not like a...
Well, they're bad enough, you know, but this is bad enough. This is
very, 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 very dark. Now, you do not want these creepy... metallic, yeah, worms crawling around inside your bloodstream, man. This is weird times, Donna. So great. I'll put this up. Keep contact. Let us know how you go tomorrow, and we'll chat again next week.
Will do. You take care.
All right. Have a good day tomorrow.
You too. Good luck.